teach me to know your son.
Welcome to The Way That Leads to Life, a weekly presentation of the Eastside Church of Christ, sharing teaching from God's own word to guide our steps in the way that leads to life.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in this morning to The Way That Leads to Life. I'm Steve Klein. Great to have you listening along this morning. Beautiful day that God has given us. We're so thankful for that and for all of his blessings. Hope that everything's going well at your house and that you are well this morning. Everybody's staying safe and away from this virus that's going around. We pray that that's the case in your house. And if someone you know has contracted it, we hope that they're doing well and pray that they'll soon recover. Well, at Eastside this morning, we're going back to meeting. We're going to meet this morning at the building at 10 o'clock for a worship assembly. If you're not able to make it there, you can still look in on the service online. You can go to our website, eastside-church.org, and click on the media tab, go to the live streaming, or you can just check on Facebook, look at Eastside Church of Christ in Athens, Alabama on Facebook, and it'll be streamed there as well. So again, we're going to meet at 10 o'clock this morning. We'll have another online service this afternoon at 5. Again, you can get to that on our website or on our Facebook page. It's also going to be on YouTube. So any of those venues, we'd love to have you study with us, look at God's word together with us, and be encouraged. This morning on the program, I'm going to start out talking about something that most of us really don't like, and that is rules. Most of us don't like the rules. We don't like the rules when, you know, we're having to go the speed limit or when our boss has told us to do something that we don't think is important or maybe counterproductive. Kids don't like the rules, that's for sure. The children don't like the rules their parents make. So, you know, the thing about rules is you can love the rules, but most people don't. But even if you do love the rules, they usually don't love you back. And when it comes to spiritual things, people don't tend to like rules. And part of that is understandable because, unfortunately, in a lot of religion today, a lot of the rules are man-made. And, you know, you can make a rule just as well as somebody else can. That's at least what we think. And so when you have a man-made rule that's, you know, governing you in religion, it's no wonder people rebel against those and they think that, well, we can do whatever we want and we shouldn't have to follow that rule. But today I want to talk to you about the difference between those kinds of rules that men make, maybe in all aspects of life, and the rules that God makes. In reality, let's step back a little bit and think about fundamental rules in various areas of life. For instance, if you want to write a great American novel, suppose you're a writer and you want to do some writing, maybe creative writing, write for the newspaper, whatever it is, you're going to have to learn the rules of grammar, man. You got to know a little bit about language. So it's important to learn some basic rules if you want to go forward and accomplish something. If you want to make a great discovery in physics, you're going to have to learn the laws of physics. Okay, you're going to have to learn some things about physics. If you want to make a great discovery in mathematics, if you want to be an engineer, you know, you're going to have to learn some very fundamental and basic rules that you'll have to follow. When it comes to music, the greatest musicians who ever lived first spent a lot of time, you know, running scales on the piano, learning what music, learning the interactions of the notes and all of that sort of things, the beats and the harmonies and all of that. You've got to learn those rules of music, even if not formally, at least informally. And so what we're saying is that fundamentally rules help us. And we'll talk about that more a little bit later. But although we may not always like them, and if they're made by men, they may be unreasonable and counterproductive, what we're saying about the rules is essentially they can be good, and especially if they're rules that are made by God. When it comes to religion then, because we have this aversion to rules, we approach a lot of times serving God and walking the way that leads to life with that same aversion. We don't like the rules. But we need to understand that in our relationship with God, the rules are important, and keeping the rules is an expression of our love for Him. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Yeah, I know a lot of people nowadays want to separate commandment keeping from love. A lot of people will tell you, oh, if you're keeping commandments, that's the opposite of love. You know, you shouldn't have to worry about commandments if you love God. That's not true. The Bible says over and over and over again, Jesus said in John 14 and verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Elsewhere, he said, you are my friends if you do the things that I command you. If you love me, keep my commandments. These are things that Jesus said. And so we need to think differently about the rules. And so what I'd like to do this morning is go to the longest chapter in the Bible. We're not going to cover all of it this morning, but I want to introduce it to you. If you're not familiar with the 119th Psalm, the 119th Psalm contains 176 verses. And as I said, we're not going to go through it all this morning. But it's a psalm that is really interesting in a lot of different ways. If you look at it in Hebrew, every eight verses, the first eight verses all start with the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. The second eight verses start with the second letter in the Hebrew alphabet. It's really amazing. It's our ABCs. You know, you go through the whole thing to get to the 176 verses. Every eight verses starting with the next letter in the alphabet. And so you have your ABCs. Hebrew, it's the Aleph, Bet, Gimel, you know, but it's the same kind of deal. And that in itself is interesting in and of itself. You think about it, you know, all of our words are made up of the letters of our alphabet, right? Well, that's how it's true. That was true in Hebrew too. And so the 119th Psalm represents a poem of praise to the Word of God, which are all made up of, you know, the letters. And so it's really a beautiful piece of poetry. It's amazing to study just from a literary standpoint. But we're going to go beyond studying it as a literary piece this morning. And I want to read just the first few verses to you, and so you can get a feel for this. And then we'll make some observations about the words. I want you to notice the different words that are used for the rules. Okay, we're talking about loving God's rules. So listen to this. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my eyes were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into your commandments. I praise you with the uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. I do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. So I don't know if you got it, but you know, over and over and over again, that's just the first 12 verses. Over and over and over again in that section, he's saying, I'm going to keep your word. I'm going to do your statutes. I'm keeping your law. I'm following your commandments. Here's a guy who is in love with the laws of God, who's in love with keeping God's rules. In the 119th Psalm, then, there in English, there are about 11 synonyms for rules. And several of them occurred in those first 11 verses. For instance, you have God's law. Obviously, law is a rule of conduct that's given down from somebody who's in authority. So the term law occurs 25 times in the 119th Psalm. Then you have the ways of God. This is the way you're supposed to walk. The name of this program is The Way That Leads to Life. Well, the way is a way you're supposed to walk in. It lays out a course of life and morality. In the 119th Psalm, it occurs 13 times. His testimonies. Sometimes God's rules are called his testimonies. These things are what we repeat. We hear them and then we repeat them. We tell others. We experience them and then we tell others. God's testimonies. The Hebrew word means to repeat over and over again. It occurs 9 times in this psalm. And then his commandments. Obviously, a commandment is a rule that's given by somebody who's in authority, and it mandates a course of action. This is what you have to do. It's an order that's given. It occurs 22 times in the 119th Psalm. And then you had the word precepts. We don't use the word precept very much, but it means something that you place your trust in, something that's entrusted to you. It's like a prescription that is going to fix what ails you. It's entrusted to you. You're supposed to take it. You're supposed to use it. That's God's precepts. And then you have his word, which is obviously his communication to us, the expression of himself. His judgments. That word is used 23 times in Psalm 119. A judgment signifies something, you know, you judge or you determine something. It means judicial ordinances and decisions, legal actions. So that's what judgments are. And then his righteousness. Righteousness is doing the right thing. It's a rule or standard for righteous living. It occurs 12 times in Psalm 119. And then you have the word statutes. We know what a statute is, right? So the legislature passes a statute. That's a law. In the Old Testament here in Psalm 119, the verb form comes from a word which means to engrave. We talk about that's written in stone or that's not written in stone. Well, the laws of God are written in stone, okay? They're statutes. That's what that word means. And then you have the word faithfulness. You know what faithfulness means? It means continuing to do something without wavering. God's faithfulness should correspond with man's faithfulness, showing fidelity and steadfastness and steadiness and keeping on and not wavering in what God expects of us or what we do in compliance to that. And then the last synonym that I want to share with you for the rules that we find in Psalm 119 is the word truth. God is not a man and he does not lie. Here's the difference between the rules of God and the rules of man. Men make up rules. They may be false. They may be true. They may be good. They may be bad. God doesn't make up rules like that. Every rule of God, every law of his, every precept, every judgment, every word, every statute is truth. And the thing about truth, despite what the way we think about it today, where everybody has his own truth, you know, some guy sitting next to you, he may have his truth. You have your truth. That's the way we think about it today. That's not the way it is with God. God's truth is something that is sure, it's reliable, it's stable. It doesn't change. It doesn't change. It's his truth forever. Okay? So these are a lot of the words in Psalm 119 that are used to convey the concept of rules. And then what I really want to get to is we talked about whether or not we're going to love the rules of God, and we need to if we're going to walk the way that leads to life. What I want to get to now is, why should we love the rules of God? How does that help us? What's the point in loving his rules, whereas we may not care for the rules that others make? But God's rules are different because in them we see God's promises to give righteous judgment. You know, we're living in a world that there's a lot of injustice. Man, we talk about social justice and social injustice, and there's a boatload of that going around, right? A lot of social injustice in this world. We feel like maybe we're treated unjustly in our jobs, or as I said, kids always feel like their parents treat them unjustly, or their school teachers treat them unjustly. And sometimes teachers feel like their students treat them unjustly too. So that all goes around. But God's word, his rules, his laws are just, and they lead to his righteous judgment. Listen to the 119th Psalm now in verse 126. It is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. See, the world may think, well, God's laws, I could take them or leave them. They don't really count for much. But in reality, they're the very things that are going to judge us. They are the very things that determine what is right and what is wrong. We're living in an age where people talk about, you know, a position that you take or something that you do. And, you know, they talk about how history is going to judge that. History's not the judge. God's the judge. How history looks at something, you know, in the future, they look back on us and somebody says, well, you're on the wrong side of history. What difference does that make? History's not the judge. God is the judge. When are we going to get that through our heads? Just because something happens in human history and maybe becomes accepted by future generations, if it's wrong, it's wrong. History doesn't decide that. People don't decide that. God decides that. That's why he's God. And so I love God's judgments because they're firm, they're steady. We know what right and wrong is, not by what future generations, how they might judge us, but how God judges us. Well, we have got to understand that. Psalm 119 and verse 119 says, you put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. See, God condemns the wicked. God does that. We don't have to make those decisions. God makes those decisions. I want you to imagine that you're playing a game in which the other team is never penalized for breaking the rules. They're never penalized for cheating or playing unfairly. Now, if you're an Alabama or Auburn football fan, you may think that happens all the time in every game between Alabama and Auburn. You know, one side or the other is going to be crying, oh, that was unfair, that call was bad, they're paying the refs or whatever. So we hear about that sort of thing a lot, and maybe you feel that that really does happen in games that you've played or sporting events that you've seen. And sometimes, I suppose, it does. But you know what? In the real game of life, God's not going to let that happen. Life is not such a game as that. Because God's law, His rules, His judgments, they'll determine what's right and wrong. They'll penalize those who have done wrong unless they get forgiveness from God through His mercy and grace. God takes care of all that. That's why I love God's law. I can rely on that. I don't have to worry about making the judgments, you know. I don't have to worry about condemning folks. Folks, God's law does that. It's completely true. It's completely right. The other thing about God's law is they keep us from stumbling as we hope for salvation and we walk the way that leads to life. Again, in this program, we're really talking about how can I get on that road that leads to life and stay on that and walk that so I can spend eternity with God in heaven. That way is a narrow way, and there are few that find it. I want you and me to be among the few that find it. I want us to walk that way that leads to life. And God's laws, His rules, keep us from stumbling as we walk that way, as we learn what He wants us to do. Listen to Psalm 119 and verse 163. The psalmist says, I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. You see the psalmist's attitude toward the rules of God? Twice in the text I just read, he says, I love them. I love your law. I love your testimonies. I love them exceedingly, he says. Why? Because it's His rules, it's His laws, it's His commandments that keep us on the right track. How in the world are we going to know the right track, the way that leads to life, unless God guides us in it? And that's what His rules for us do. We love those rules because we love Him, because we want to walk the path that leads to Him. We want to get to Him. And so anything that's going to keep us on that track, man, we've got to love those, don't we? That's what the psalmist is teaching us, and that's what he found out in his life. The law of God, the rules of God, the commandments of God, the statutes, the ordinances, they were precious to him because they led to his salvation. In the New Testament, if someone might be wondering how this applies in New Testament times, in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, the writer there talks about Jesus Christ. And he says about him that though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. Again, we don't like to talk about obedience. We don't like to talk about rule keeping. But that's plainly what the New Testament says. Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. And you know, we can't just thumb our nose at obedience. I understand that nobody is going to be saved by perfect keeping of the law of God, because none of us do that. But it is the way we need to try to walk. It is the way that will lead to Him. He's the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Thankful for His grace, where we can find forgiveness when we stumble and when we violate His law. But we need to be walking in that way that leads to life, and His law guides us in that way. In loving His commandments, we're walking the way that leads to life. In loving them, the Lord is going to renew and strengthen us. In Psalm 119 again, what does it say? Verse 159, consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. Now, two things there. You know, think about praying to God and you're saying to Him, you know, I'm a mess. I need to be sort of brought back to life. My life is ruined. I feel like I'm dead. And you're wanting to be revived. And you plead to Him. And one of the things that you might say is, I love your law. I really want to do what you want me to do. And that's what the psalmist says. Consider how I love your precepts and revive me according to your loving kindness, your mercy and your grace. I want to tell a story some of you may be familiar with or at least have heard of. And it's from a pretty well-known poem by Alfred Lord Tennyson. It's entitled The Charge of the Light Brigade. And some have heard that poem. Some may not know the story about it. And I'm going to share that with you in the next few minutes. And it'll have a really important point when we come to understand about keeping God's laws. And the Charge of the Light Brigade was a charge of a British light cavalry led by Lord Cardigan against the Russians during the Crimean War, October 25th, 1854. Lord Raglan was the commander of the British forces. He intended to send this light brigade, this cavalry, to prevent the Russians from removing some captured guns in overrun Turkish positions. And that would have been a good job for a light cavalry to do. However, the order got mixed up. And because of some miscommunication somewhere down the chain of command, instead of being sent to, you know, keep the Russians from taking these guns, the light brigade was instead sent on a frontal assault against a different artillery battery, which was really well armed and prepared with all sorts of defensive fire. So the light brigade reached the battery, and as they charged, just under withering direct fire, so many of them were killed just trying to get there. They were mauled, just almost obliterated. They ended in pretty much a stalemate. No gain was made militarily, and many soldiers lost their lives. And so it was a completely bungled attack. Those events, as I mentioned, are remembered by Alfred Lord Tennyson in a narrative poem entitled The Charge of the Light Brigade. That was published just 6 weeks after the event. And its lines emphasize the valor of the cavalry, its bravery in carrying out the orders, in following the rules, regardless of the outcome. I want to read the first two lines of The Charge of the Light Brigade. Half a league, half a league, half a leg, half a league onward, all in the valley of death rode the 600. Forward, the light brigade, charge for the guns, he said, into the valley of death rode the 600. Forward, the light brigade. Was there a man dismayed? Not though the soldier knew someone had blundered. Theirs not to make reply. Theirs not to reason why. Theirs but to do and die. Into the valley of death rode the 600. There are 600 men in that light brigade who were following orders that were bad orders. They followed them anyway, and they rode straight to their deaths. Here's the deal. Human beings often make mistakes in making the rules, in giving the orders. And you follow the way of man, a lot of times it's going to lead to death. It will certainly lead to death spiritually. Human beings make up all sorts of rules and orders when it comes to religious things. There's a way, the wise man says in the book of Proverbs, that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And so here in the Charge of the Light Brigade, we have a perfect example. These men, military men sometimes like orders. They like the authority. They like following the rules. And these guys did all the way to their death. But it was a shame because the rules were bad. The orders were miscommunicated. They were wrong from the get-go. Here's the difference between that and the laws of God. God never makes a bad order. He never gives a command that's not for our good. He never gives a law that's ultimately not for his purpose. And his laws will help us get to him in eternity. I'm just begging you to look at the laws of God much differently than you look at maybe rules that are made by men that are counterproductive, that don't make any sense, that are contradictory. We understand why sometimes human beings might not like those kinds of rules, but those kinds of rules are not the rules of God. We need to be looking into his word and finding out his direction for us, which is perfect. The way of the Lord, the Bible says, is perfect, and it is perfect. And those who've given themselves to Jesus and are walking this way that leads to life, they've come to understand that. There's nothing that Jesus asks us to do that is counterproductive. There's nothing that he asks us to do that doesn't help us along the way that leads to life. It's not just a matter of, you know, being confined by rules. It's a matter of rules helping us come to be like him and come with him into the presence of our Heavenly Father. I hope that we can understand that this morning. Such a powerful lesson. Yeah, it's bad when people unthinkingly follow rules that are bad for them, but those are not the rules of God. If we love God's rules, we will obey them. In Psalm 119 and verse 167, the psalmist says, "My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly." You see the connection there between loving the rules and doing them? If you don't love it, you're not going to do it, right? If you don't love it, you're not going to do it. And that's why our attitude toward the rules of God has to be different from our attitude toward maybe some other unprofitable rules in our lives. If we'll keep God's laws, if we'll keep his statutes, if we'll keep his testimonies, we'll have such peace in our lives. I have found in just observation, and I'm sure many of you have observed the same thing, that people who are rebellious against the rules, you know, they're seeking a better way for themselves, they think. They're doing things that they think will make them happy, and so they break this rule, they break that rule, and they wind up being the most miserable people on earth, don't they? But as people who are wholly given to Jesus Christ, who love his law, who love doing what he says to do, those people have peace. And you find that virtually without exception. So Psalm 119 and verse 165 says, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble." I think Christians, true Christians, people who are really following what Jesus says and not just a bunch of man-made rules, people who are really following what Jesus says, they're more at peace than anybody on earth. They're enjoying life. They live stable lives. And even though storms may come and difficulties may arise, they have Jesus with them. They know what to do because he's directed them, and they're at peace. They have peace just in meditating and thinking about what God has said for them to do. Psalm 119, verse 97, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." I just want to think about what God wants me to do. You think about that, you do that, you live a very peaceable life, a life that's full of stability. And there's pleasure in that. There's pleasure in thinking about God's laws. There's pleasure in following God's laws. Psalm 119, verse 97, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." Psalm 119, verse 47, "I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love. I will meditate on your statutes." I hope you followed along with the lesson this morning. I hope we're thinking about changing our attitudes toward the laws of God if we do not love them. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul writes to his young preacher friend Timothy, and he says to him, "You must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." See, we are soldiers. We're like those men in the charge of the Light Brigade. The only difference is our commander is perfect. He never gives a bad order. Every order that he gives will help us gain the victory in this life. We must endure hardship as a good soldier. We must follow our commander. We must do what he wants us to do, those things that will please him and ultimately will please us as well. We must learn that if we're going to compete in this game of life, we must do so according to the rules. Listen to this last verse from the Apostle Paul. "If anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." You know what? We better compete according to the rules in this life that we're living. Thank you so much for tuning into The Way That Leads to Life this morning. Hope everything's going well again around your house. Strive as you live this week to love God's rules, to walk that way that leads to life. And tune in again next week for The Way That Leads to Life.
You've been listening to The Way That Leads to Life, presented by the Eastside Church of Christ, meeting at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. Come visit us this morning at 9 o'clock or this evening at 5 o'clock as we assemble for worship. Also, join us for Wednesday Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. For free audio or video of the Bible lessons taught at Eastside, or to learn more about us, log on to eastside-church.org. That's eastside-church.org. And tune in again next week to The Way That Leads to Life.